Shed Some Light, episode 238, coming to you on a Thursday. Michael and Jack are back, and boy, do we have a lot of football to talk about.
Football!
We got college football underway. The NFL season kicks off tonight. Last night, I had my fantasy football draft for everyone that cares. I bet you my team is pretty average.
Guess what? Nobody cares.
Average.
I can't do fantasy football, dude.
I love it.
People just take it way too seriously for me.
It gives me a reason to follow the NFL, because I couldn't really care less about the NFL. I mean, I probably could care less about it, but it's just like something that's on Sundays.
I watch the Bears. The rest of the NFL is baseball for me, where it's just on in the background.
Don't get me wrong. I still spend a lot of time watching it, but I don't care. Like, I just saw on Hard Knocks that Adam Thielen is on the Panthers.
Yeah.
Just found that out.
Right before the fantasy draft. That's big.
Yep.
It's big. Way to go.
I did so much research on it, too. And by that,
remember the
I
good old days of, like, getting, like, the book?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The pamphlet?
The magazine.
Yeah. That was when fantasy football was fun. You know what I think my problem with fantasy football is? The most fun I have is the draft. And then it's just all downhill from there.
I think my strategy is I'm just going to pick off of ESPN's, like, this guy is probably projected to go next. Boom. Although I do have one sleeper that I'm going after.
Who is it?
Bijan Robinson.
I don't think that's much of a sleeper. I don't play fantasy football, and every, like, TikTok I've seen about, like, guys, you know who's a sleeper in your fantasy football league has 95% of the time been Bijan Robinson.
I'm thinking, I don't know, if I'm feeling crazy, I might draft a quarterback number one. Not
okay,
number
see,
one, but like in my first overall.
You know
how... Here's how I justify it. The quarterback touches the ball every play.
You know how you know that I haven't played fantasy football in a while? Was because the last time that I played fantasy football, the quarterback was the unanimous number one pick.
It's almost always wide receivers and running backs for the first, like, two rounds at
least. Yeah, that makes no sense. Well, you know who you shouldn't pick? Travis Kelce.
Yep.
May or may not have fucked up his knee.
That's what I heard.
Just a little insight for you.
And this is why you do your draft the day before the season starts. You get all those data points.
Yeah, don't want to be fucking somebody up, you know?
Right.
I think I'd be in on it if I, like... I just want to, like, go somewhere with my friends for the draft. Like, I want to do something big for the draft every year. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think I've only done 2 in-person drafts.
The rest have been virtual. I think if you could guarantee me an in-person draft every year, I'd do it. But also, like, my friends are such fucking nerd losers where they're like, I've got an algorithm that tells me what to pick next. It's like, dude, lick my nuts.
Smart.
It's like,
let
dude,
the computer
fucking
do the thinking
pick,
for you.
Pick whatever guy you want to pick and then just fucking move on.
Let's talk some college football because, man, it was a wild week.
It was as wild as a week one could get. Would you agree?
Because
like a normal week one is like everybody takes care of business and then you just kind of move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. Where do you want to start?
Let's do Notre Dame first because they're top priority here. Dominated Tennessee State. Notre Dame's defense still hasn't given up a touchdown.
Okay. I like that you brought that up first. Heart of hearts, how confident are you in this defense?
I don't, I'm not overly...
Sorry if you can hear Dutton slurping that water in the background.
I'm not overly confident in them, but I think that they are playing with a lot of confidence in themselves, which is going to, or should, hopefully, propel them to higher outputs on the field, if
okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, I like that, because for me, I have been having just like a mental debate with myself since the first game. And I'll tell you exactly why. To me, they don't pass the eye test. And this is my dumb, stupid football brain being like, they don't have enough guys. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. However, at the moment, Dutton agrees. However, they keep making plays. And I don't know if it's just because, like, they're in the right spot all the time. It's almost like one of those things where, like, you don't need a Jalen Smith if you have, like, a Manti Te'o.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, Manti Te'o never made, like, the flashy play, but he didn't need to because he was just always in the right spot. So I don't know if, like, that's the reason our defense is good. My only concern with them is that there have been multiple times where I have been like, if that's a good team, that's a touchdown. And then to even, again, mentally debate myself with that, there have been great defenses so far in week one that have given up touchdowns to shitty teams.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that neither of Notre Dame's first two games are really valuable measuring sticks as to where this team truly is.
Yes.
Granted, the offense is cooking, which...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change.
I don't think they're going to cook to the same level that they're cooking right now.
Sure, I don't think they're putting up fucking 45 a game.
But I don't really see that changing.
Yeah.
Defensively, I mean, you can't complain. They've given up 6 points in two games.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, so what I was saying with, like, sure, they've played Navy and Tennessee State, right? Who did Georgia play this weekend? The fucking Sisters of the Blind? Guess what? They scored. They scored on Georgia.
A Major League Baseball player will hit home runs during batting practice. What are they going to do when they're facing live pitching?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this upcoming weekend against NC State could entail. It's obviously their hardest test yet.
However... with saying that they haven't given up a touchdown, I attribute that to Freeman and to the mentality that he is instilling in this football team of, we do not take our foot off the gas pedal. I don't care if we are up fucking 7 or 57. We are going as hard as we can, and we are not letting up. And it's the first time that I remember a team that has had that mentality in years.
As I mentioned previously, they seem to be playing with a ton of confidence, which is not normally visible on Notre Dame teams. Offensively, I think that just waterfalls down from Sam Hartman.
Offensively.
When the wide receivers know that if they work to get open, they're going to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
When the running backs know that when they get handed off the ball, the O-line is parting the Red Sea for them. Like, there's nothing much more that you can ask for.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of that stems from good quarterback play.
Yes.
Defensively, again, hard to measure because of who they've played. But I think that these two games, hopefully, have built up a lot of confidence in them to continue to be playing at a high level. The true test is going to be when this team first faces adversity, because that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
How are they going to respond?
So then here's my next question that I debated with other people. When do you want that adversity to hit? Because for me, it's this weekend. Now, I'm not saying that I want this to be a close game, but I want a little bit of adversity. Because I don't want the first adversity for us to hit be against Ohio State. I want us to have a little bit of a test beforehand.
So, in an ideal world, in ideal world A, Notre Dame football does not face any adversity this year and runs the
sure,
table.
Sure,
in
sure.
In ideal world B, it would be, I think it would suck in the moment, but it would be really cool if the outcome was NC State jumped out to like a 10-0 lead, and then Notre Dame came back and won the game 42-10.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't even give them 10. I'll just be like, they get the kickoff, they score first.
I need a little bit more than that. The offense, for some reason, stalls on the first drive. NC State gets the ball back, goes down, kicks a field goal, 10-0. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
42-10.
Sure. I think the biggest key for this weekend, and it's kind of how I want the offense to go, I want them to run a modified version of a hurry-up offense, but only run the ball.
NC State's defense, I think, could be the best defense that Notre Dame faces this year. And that's a hot take.
Okay, well, first of all, how many yards per carry did they give up to UConn?
Like, I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it was like about 5.5.
UConn.
If you give up 5.5 yards a carry to UConn, dude, we should average 7.25 at least yards a carry. And dude, we talk about it all the time. We have a five-headed monster at running back. Mm-hmm. I'm running it down their throat, and I want all their defense to just be gasping for air. Like, I want it to be like, Audric Esme gets tackled. He knows that that's his last play. He's sprinting off. Somebody else is sprinting on. We're running the ball again. Fucking, I guarantee you their defense will be gassed. You're giving up 14 to UConn. You can tell me how good UConn is, dude. I don't give a fuck.
I just think that NC State is a lot better than the average fan is giving them credit
for. I don't think they're bad by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. I think they are very good. But I think that there are glaring holes in their offense and defense. And if you're giving up 5 yards a carry to UConn, I'm sorry. Your run defense is not that good.
Not only yards per carry, but I think this was total offense. As of right now, I believe that this is correct. Notre Dame is averaging 8.3 yards per play.
Decent.
That's a first down every other play.
I know that Sam Hartman has been on the field for 12 offensive drives,
yep,
and 11 of them have been touchdowns, and one of them was a missed field goal.
Yep. Dude, I guess I never really thought about this. I was listening to an interview with Sam Hartman on Tuesday night. He's never had a meal on Notre Dame's campus outside of the Goog. I was like, wow,
makes
that
sense.
Must be nice.
Yeah. But the facilities.
The facilities.
Not good. Did you hear, it came out a couple of weeks ago, but that it was, I think it was Alabama, Georgia, and one other big team offered Hartman.
Yeah.
They were like trying to recruit him.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, I'm good.
Yep.
Suck it, you fucks.
And he ends every single interview with
"Go Irish." Irish.
I love that man.
I love Sam Hartman. But yeah, I don't know. I guess kind of what is your ideal game plan going into NC State? Like, what are you doing differently offensive wise? What are you doing different defensively wise?
I'm not doing too much different offensively. I think that each week, Jared Parker should dig just a little bit deeper into the playbook.
Sure.
Defensively, I mean, it's so hard to tell at this point. I think really the main thing that I'm looking for defensively is discipline, in the sense of you're not missing assignments and you're not missing tackles.
Yeah, and I think this is the first one that you truly have like a genuine threat, dual threat quarterback.
Right.
Like you could argue Tennessee State, sure, had a dual threat quarterback, but also at the same time, like, you're not really worried about their wide receivers as much, so you're just kind of playing him. Mm-hmm. You're just playing the spy on him. You know, I think our strength of our team is probably our secondary. So you trust the corners against Tennessee State, you're going to have to trust them even more against NC State, you know? And then you take, you know, Maris Leafau, Jack Kaiser, whoever, J.D. Bertrand, and you spy the quarterback there. This would be the first, like, true J.D. Bertrand game. Like, how good are you?
Yeah.
Because if I'm Freeman, J.D. Bertrand is on the quarterback all game. Put Marist in coverage against a tight end or a slot, because J.D. Bertrand against a slot or a tight end is just, it's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
So put him against the quarterback and just let him spy, let him do his thing. Because J.D. Bertrand, at least at the end of the day, J.D. Bertrand can at least hold up the quarterback to allow other people to get there.
Yeah.
So that's what he needs to do this game, in my opinion. But also, the refs, figure it the fuck out, dog. Figure out what targeting is, what isn't. Figure out when to review, because that was maybe one of the two worst calls I've seen.
Officiating in the Tennessee
is rough. Also, maybe you can answer this for me. Why do we not have independent refs?
Because no one would pay them.
Why don't we pay them?
I think that would be a conflict of interest. if your check was coming from the school that you have to officiate a game for, like the refs right now are only tied to a league. They're not tied to a specific.
Why doesn't the NCAA pay them?
Because the NCAA is run by a bunch of morons. Nothing they do is ever right.
Fight them. Yeah, rip his sock off.
Score predictions for this weekend's game.
41. What is it? What do I always say? 41-14?
I think that's it.
41.
Is that what you normally
13,
say?
13. 40.
I think.
41-10. Some shit that's a lot to a little. Fuck them.
I'm going.
Nah, I'm going genuine pick.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
was that you?
I was going 35-14.
So I added a couple field goals. I added a couple field goals on each side. 38-17 is what I'm going with.
There you go.
I'll take it.
Other college football news, Colorado.
Yeah, they looked surprisingly good, and I hate it.
Funny thing is, they are getting so much media hype right now. I think TCU was severely overrated, and I think that Colorado is going to turn out to be a pretty average football team this year.
Oh, for sure.
Like 6-6 would be a great year for them.
I don't know if you saw the stats, but it was like they had like 510 passing yards and like 40 rushing yards. So like their O-line is still like pretty shit. And like you said, I think TCU's overrated. The only person that I will say is the like Shedeur Sanders or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Is good. I don't think he's elite.
Mm-hmm.
The only person on that team that is absolutely fucking beyond elite is Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is fucking so goddamn good. It is unreal. Like, to do what he's doing is fucking insane. What do you have, 120-plus snaps?
He had, I think, 110 snaps. The weather was almost 100 degrees there.
That is fucking nuts.
He had, I don't remember how many receptions and an interception.
And the pick was insane.
Like, I don't get how he has the energy.
Dude, it's nuts. I will tip my cap to him. He is so fucking good.
Yep.
He's elite. He is elite.
Yep.
The only thing that I hate, and you kind of touched on it too, is they are getting, people are sucking them off like they won the national title. You want to know. Don't get me wrong. You went to TCU. You handled business. Great game. Sure. You're still at the end of the day. You want to know. I actually do like Deion Sanders in the sense of, like, he was a phenomenal athlete. I hate how every interview he does somehow leads back to him. Like, they asked about Travis Hunter, and he was like, you know who I'd compare him to? Me. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up, man. Like, just, I get it that you're comparing him because he plays both sides of the ball. I get it. But, like, talk about somebody's work ethic. You know who I would compare him to? Like, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Like, that's the work ethic he has. Like, don't fucking compare him to you.
He interviews like a motivational speaker.
But who wants to hype himself up?
Gotta, like, be motivated.
I swear to God, every time he talks, it's like, yeah, man, you know, we were really just prepared, you know. I want to thank coaching staff, including myself. It's like, dude, don't fucking. Why'd you say that?
I have a love hate relationship with him. I think he's a great coach. I think that everything that he's doing to bring not only the recognition to HBCUs when he was at Jackson State, now kind of jump into the big leagues, a Power Five school with Colorado. That's all fine. I've nothing wrong with that. The only reason that I dislike him is because of how much the rest of the media loves
sucks him up. Yeah, I 100% agree. I cannot stand that people are like, after the first week, people are like, dude, Colorado's fucking awesome. They're going to win. It's like, dude, no, they're not. They play like one legitimately good team, and they're fucked.
The all-black outfit with the white cowboy hat.
Sick.
Sweet.
I do like it. He's got a good sense of style. I can't knock him there.
Yeah.
Also, I think I'm in on Tulane.
The Green Wave?
Dude, yeah, they're kind of sick.
Yeah?
They fucking beat USC last year in the bowl game. So I already like you guys. They got elite jerseys and an elite like the logo.
Yeah.
Is sick.
Yeah.
Fucking, I think I'm all in on Tulane. They're top 20 now, I believe.
Boom.
Shout out to fucking Tulane. I just want to give a shout out to Tulane.
Fair enough. Also, shout out to Florida State.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this was... Okay. I've had a little bit of time to digest this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're going to like or not like where I'm coming with this. I don't think LSU looked as bad as everybody thought.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
I feel like immediately afterwards, everybody was just like, fuck LSU, they stink, they're the worst, fucking get them out of my top 25. Like, no, like, they competed for, they did a typical Brian Kelly. They competed for 2.5 quarters.
That's what I was going to say, 2.5.
And then just absolutely imploded. And that's exactly what Brian Kelly did at Notre Dame. Every time. It was like, give us a little bit of hope. Bam! Kick to the nuts. Get rid of that hope. Never in a million years. Get fucked. I think you can fix it.
Yeah, there's too much talent there for it not to be fixed.
Yeah. Also, Jaden Daniels didn't look the greatest, which goes into, again, the stereotype. Brian Kelly just ruins quarterbacks.
Whoever tweeted it out the other week that Sam Hartman makes it look like Notre Dame didn't try at quarterback for the last couple years,
yes,
is the most, that's the most accurate statement that I've ever heard.
I forget who it was. I wish I liked the tweet. I read it to you, though. And it was like, I feel bad saying this, but Sam Hartman makes it look like Notre Dame didn't try and make the quarterback position good for the last decade. And I was like, yeesh, that is harshly accurate.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those things where, it was a stereotype around Brian Kelly as it was that he was a quarterback killer and that people got significantly worse in the second year that they were under him, which still doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand how you get worse that bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, you should understand the offense better.
From what I've come to somewhat figure out in here is that with first-year quarterbacks, he goes above and beyond to simplify the offense. And then because they can master the simplified offense, he basically goes from, like, addition and subtraction to, like, college-level calculus, and there's just no connection there.
Well, I also think, and it's been the problem, we've said it before, it's been the problem with BK, is that he outthinks himself.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, this is working, I'm going to stop doing this before the other team figures it out, so I'm going to switch it so that they can't even stop us. And then it's like, no, just do it until they stop you. Like, if it keeps working, keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the old Lou Holtz. Like, stop us three times, and then I'll switch. But if you can't stop us three times in a row, I'm not going to stop doing it.
If it ain't broke,
don't fix it. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's no need for it. I thought LSU's defense, as much as they gave up 45, looked relatively decent. Tough to have a transfer from Syracuse be your starting corner.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're LSU and you get 5-star recruits like fucking nothing, you're telling me that there's a guy that got recruited by Syracuse, that he's the best one that you guys got?
Yeah. Let the man have a shot.
Keon Coleman just dropped his nuts right on that dude's face all night. This is what, Jordan Travis had 4 touchdowns and 4 of them went to Keon Coleman? It's like, dude, come on. He got a shot. Fucking bench him the rest of the season, buddy. That guy stinks. And that's where I can understand the displeasure with LSU fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm an LSU fan, I'm like, this fucking guy from Syracuse is the best that we've got at corner. he's guarding their number one wide receiver all night. Like, what the fuck are we doing? You're telling me that there's nobody better? And with the way that they recruit, there should be 15 people better than him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's where I can understand the displeasure with LSU fans.
Yeah.
But
speaking of displeasure, Clemson falls in a relatively uncompetitive loss to Duke, 28-7.
Well, first of all,
we're talking basketball?
That was
March Madness?
That was one of the weirder games I've ever seen. Like, Clemson fumbled, what, 3 times within the 10?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, man, they score that. Like, fucking who knows what happens.
That's why you play the game.
And as much as I dislike, I think Dabo's a good coach. I dislike Dabo as a person, if that makes sense. Yeah. Which is wild to say because he's like, God, I just think he's like a fake.
He's corny.
Yeah, I think he's fake with everything that he does. That's my problem with him. I saw his post game. He was like, we were 58-0 when we've thrown for 200 and rushed for 200. So this is our first loss. Which is a wild, like, a couple things go their way that game, and I think it's a completely different game.
Yeah.
But they also, like, they didn't look good. Like, I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast. You want to talk about the eye test? They did not pass the eye test.
Failed.
They failed the eye test hard.
Yeah.
And that's my dumb, stupid, fucking meathead football guy brain. But, like, they did not pass the eye test at all. And even the announcers, I don't know if you caught this, but they said it in the broadcast. They were like, one of the guys that was doing the on-field reporting came in towards the end of the game. He was like, I didn't think I would say this. I didn't see a difference in, like, speed and athleticism between these two teams. So he was like, Clemson was right on par with Duke, and I don't know who that says more about. I don't know if it says more about Clemson. I don't know if it says more about Duke. But Clemson looked like a yikes if I've ever seen one.
I don't know if we'll see, obviously, how the rest of the season plays out, but this weekend could have marked kind of like the passing of the guard in the ACC. Is Florida State
back?
Top dog? Has Clemson been dethroned? Tune in to the 2023 college football season to find out.
Dabo Sweeney sucks. I do think that, like, Dabo's...
Imagine Dragons playing in the background.
Yeah, dude, fucking... Imagine dragging these nuts right over Dabo's face. How you doing? I think Clemson is... I don't want to say nail in the coffin, but I think they're going to go back to, like, the... Like, slightly above average. Like, you don't want to play him on, like, a bad day.
I would love if Notre Dame was able to put that nail in the coffin, because Clemson's, like, true, like, rebirth into being good was beating us in
the fucking monsoon.
Yeah. So let's,
which is bullshit as it is.
Hammer nail, shut that bad boy down, bury him in the ground for a little bit, and carry on with life.
Speaking of going back to Notre Dame, depending on how the next couple of weeks go, I would like Sam Hartman to start talking slightly more shit.
I don't think that's him.
And by when I say slightly more shit, I don't want it to be like a fuck the other team, but I want it to be like we're back, baby.
Yeah, like,
you know,
I said,
what I'm saying?
I just don't think that that's him.
I don't think it is either, but also we haven't seen him play like a good team.
Yeah.
But I was dying at, like, when he threw his, like, whatever touchdown of the game against Tennessee State. It was just a nice little, like, fist shake. Like, yeah, that was good. I did good there. And then a nice firm handshake with one of the linemen, and that was it. And I was like, you know what? Take care of business, baby. They know.
That's right.
And then, hey, I'm talking about a Heisman moment. Him doing the fucking... the jerk off on the sideline was fucking hilarious, and him knowing it was funny too, because he's right next to the guy that's actually calling the plays, and him just doing the air double salt shaker, if you will, prep to keep it PG, was so fucking funny. I was dying laughing, and he's smirking the entire time, like, he knows what he's doing. He's just over there, so fucking dude, so funny. I love Sam Hartman.
Me too.
Also, as we're recording this, happy birthday to Audric Esme.
Oh!
Legend.
One of my favorite Notre Dame memes, too, when he sings Here Come the Irish.
Oh, dude.
That's just elite.
Audric Estime might go down as one of my favorite Notre Dame players of all time.
On and off the field.
Yes, 100%. On the field, he's fucking great. Off the field, he might be better. And it's insane to say.
Yeah.
But he's definitely going to go down as one of my favorite of all time. He might go down as, like, my favorite of all time, depending on how the season goes. He's the best. I fucking love Audric Estime.
Love it.
I got two more college football things to talk. Three more, okay. Actually. Sorry. Real quick, shout out to the Oregon Duck for doing 546 push-ups.
Oh, yeah, it looked like he
fucking
died.
Let it go, dude. Put that guy on the team.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, dude, if he's ripping 546 push-ups in, you know, 4 hours, that guy is fucking... Put him on the team.
Yeah.
That guy is huge. Shout out to the Oregon Duck. Shout out to Iowa with maybe one of the funniest stats I've ever seen in my entire life. I get it that this is a very niche stat with all the parameters that they are putting on. But them putting out the stat of this year, they threw a touchdown pass the first drive to open the season. And it's the first time they've done that since 1991. Is a hilarious stat. 32 years, they haven't fucking thrown a touchdown to start the season.
That's pretty impressive.
Wild.
Pretty impressive.
Also, shout out to the graphics guy at Fox for just having that one on deck. How the fuck did he know that? Like, he was sitting there being like, dude, if they fucking throw a touchdown, I guarantee I got the best graphic of all time. Because it was on the fucking graphic at the bottom. They were celebrating the touchdown. It was like first opening season touchdown drive to result in a throwing touchdown since 1901.
I bet you he was
1991.
Born,
I bet you. That'd be a while.
He was born in 86 and was like a grew up an Iowa dude. Fan. And he was like, I was 5 years old the last time this happened.
He hit the send button and was just like, yes! Yes! Let's go! Wild stat to throw out there.
Oh, for sure.
And then my last one. Ohio State. Kind of, like, IU didn't look good either. As an IU grad, we did not look good. I don't know if Ryan Day's a good coach. And Dutton agrees.
Again, same thing that we said against Navy in Dublin. It's week one for most of these teams. You can't.
Sure.
You got to take it at face value. I get that.
However,
did they look mortal? Yes.
Okay. But then, so then here's the flip side of this, because this is what all the Ohio State fans are saying. It's just Navy. It's just Navy. It's just Navy. Stop fucking acting like you guys are that good. You just played IU, and you barely put up 23. Like, your offense looked like shit. And that's supposed to be like the heart and soul of your team.
Yeah.
It's your offense. You guys looked like dog shit. So like, and then they have the spin zone. We don't want to give away all of our plays against IU.
Right,
dude,
right.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
I didn't
see. You guys put up 23.
I didn't see any of the Ohio State game. Did Lorenzo Styles play?
I did not see that. Logan Diggs didn't play against Florida State.
I think he was hurt.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Could be why. That's why they didn't win. That's why they lost by 20-21.
Yeah. Anything else college football-wise that you want to talk to?
No, not really.
We got Bears-Packers.
Bears. Bear on, down, baby.
On Sunday.
4:25 p.m. Let's rock and also roll, baby.
For the first time in my, well, probably my lifetime, maybe at least just the memorable past, the Bears are favored to win that game. How about that?
Yeah. Jordan Love can suck my balls. So can all Packers fans. Lick my nuts. Bears are coming. Heard that there was a all-players meeting the other day, and Jaquan Brisker, one of our corner safeties, led the meeting, and it just started off with, why not us? Why not us?
People are asking. Like,
the fucking, is there a brick wall over here? Can I run through it, please? Justin Fields. I'm fucking, dude, I'm so fucking ready for Justin Fields to just drop some nuts on some people. Because I know that he's feeling it too.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, he's sick of the fucking disrespect. The best thing to come out of Ohio State is fucking Justin Fields.
Marcus Freeman.
That too. But Justin Fields.
Marcus Freeman number one, Justin Fields number two.
1A, 1B.
No.
Justin Fields. I love Justin Fields. And give me a Marcus Freeman doing the "I love Justin Fields" and I'm fucking in.
Yeah, full slate.
I'm ready. Other games, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I want the Chiefs to fucking dust the Lions Thursday. I want them to just fucking... I want Patrick Mahomes to just dick slap, mushroom stomp these dudes so bad. I'm so fucking sick of hearing how good the fucking Lions are going to be.
What are you more...
Everybody's over here fucking, the Lions, shut up,
what
dude.
What are you more sick of hearing? The Lions are good or Kirk Cousins is a great guy?
Oh, Jesus Christ. did you guys watch quarterback? Kirk Cousins, fucking good guy.
Who are you going to root for in the Lions-Vikings matchup?
Oh, God. I'm going to root for the Vikings to win, and I'm going to root for Kirk Cousins to have a shit game. I want them to run the ball for like 9 million yards. I actually don't have a problem with Kirk Cousins. I'm so torn.
He's in the Deion Sanders realm, where you like the guy, you just don't like the hype that he has. No.
Okay, so here,
Cousins and Deion Sanders in the same sentence wild.
So I got a problem with a couple things. I got a problem with the Vikings last year because they somehow, every coin flip went on their side. So I got a problem with them because everybody was like, the Vikings are awesome. And it's like, no, they didn't. They fucking like, they won like 9 overtime games. And it's like, no, you're never going to do that again. Like, that's never going to happen. So I got a problem with them. I got a problem with the Lions because everybody is jerking off the Lions, being like, the Lions could make a run in the fucking, in the playoffs. Like, no, they can't. They're the Lions. End of the day, they're still the fucking Lions, okay? I don't have a problem with Kirk Cousins in particular. I got a problem with fucking this. The show quarterback had to fucking brainwash everybody at the end of that show to be like, when you tell somebody to watch this show, the first thing you gotta mention is how good of a guy Kirk Cousins is. Shut the fuck up. I guarantee you he's a nice dude. But every motherfucker that has watched that show, the first thing they say, have you seen quarterback? And then I'll be like, nope. And they'll be like, dude, Kirk Cousins, great guy. Shut the fuck up. I don't care. How the fuck is that the first statement that everybody makes? Was that show not interesting at all? That the only fucking interesting thing is how good of a guy Kirk Cousins was? What about, nobody said shit about Patrick Mahomes. Nobody said shit about Marcus Mariota. It's just how fucking good of a guy Kirk Cousins is. I get it. That's fine. I hope he's a great guy. But shut the fuck up talking about him, dude. I'm sick of it.
The funniest part was the first time that we talked about that in the group setting, it was like people were kind of trickling in. And
it was like 9 people in a row. Times,
and everyone's first response was, oh, Kirk Cousins is a great guy.
Shut up. I don't give a fuck.
Unplanned.
I just don't give a fuck. Unplanned. I'm sure he's the nicest dude in the world. But just shut the fuck up about him being a nice guy. I don't care. I get it. He's a great guy. Sure. I almost am like, at this point, I think I'm just boycotting the entire quarterback series because I'm like, I'm not going to realize how great of a guy Kirk Cousins is. Oh, also, it like, man, why does that shock anybody? Like, people are saying that he's a great guy. Like, everybody thought he was a scumbag. And then it's like, oh, actually, it turns out that fucking Kirk Cousins is a great guy. Did we ever think Kirk Cousins wasn't a great guy? Why is that, why is that, like, such a shocking revelation to people?
I don't know.
Fucking, guys, you watch quarterback? Kirk Cousins, great guy. Fucking... has nothing to do with him being a quarterback. The show is called Quarterback. God bless fucking Kirk Cousins, I guess. Jesus Christ.
Well, any other sports talk? I have one dumb thought.
Hit me with it.
This is not only a question for you, but like I honestly want to know from people because I'm just genuinely curious about this. When you put your silverware in the dishwasher, do you put your, like... fork prongs and spoon, like scooper part and the sharp part of the knife. Is that down?
Down.
Or up?
Down. I know somebody that puts it up and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I thought that down was like the normal way.
Especially with a knife, like the knives don't make any sense.
Right. You're just reaching in there and bang.
Why? Why do I want to stab myself? Because Kirk Cousins is a fucking great guy. That's why I want to stab myself. Yeah, no, I'm down all the way. All
right. Just curious. Let me know if you're listening to this. Tell me
horns
a person.
Down, fucking fork down.
Text me. Hit us up on DMs on social media. Let us know. I'm genuinely curious.
I got one, not dumb thought, but I heard this on the radio the other day. That might have been just one of the most ridiculous stats that I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they got this. I was listening to some radio station talking about doing drugs. It was like, it wasn't Dare. A shout out to Dare. But they were just talking about drugs. So they threw this stat out there, right? And I guess they prefaced it with teenagers think this.
Mm-hmm.
So teenagers think, apparently, and this may be a bigger issue, that we are living in the generation of the dumbest teenagers of all time, that 61% of people who try weed are going to do heroin.
Oh, nice.
That might be the most ridiculous over-exaggeration I've ever heard in my entire life.
I would like to know what population, what percentage of the population does heroin.
Yeah, fucking it's 1%.
Less than that.
Less than one. I was trying to equivalent that to like something of like, teenagers nowadays think that 75% of people who play baseball in high school are going to the MLB.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, no, that's not true.
It's not how that works.
It's just not how that works. And it was also like, it wasn't even like, if you try weed, you try, you know, like,
cocaine.
Yeah, like it was just like 0 to 100 real quick. 61% of people that do one do the other. It's like, dude, do you understand? Like, no offense, I'm just looking at logistics wise now. I don't understand how easy it is to smoke weed. I don't understand how hard it is to get and do heroin. Extremely hard. It's like, fucking, I know shit tons of people who smoke weed. I know zero people who do heroin.
Yep.
It's like, okay, so just in the matter of that, are we living in the dumbest fucking generation I've ever seen? Why does 61% of teenagers think that if you smoke weed, you're going to do heroin?
How many people did they ask on this study?
I didn't know. It was just a fucking commercial that I was... My exact note that I have, because I was in the car, said 61 weed to heroin. That's all I wrote, because I was like, this is one of the most ridiculous stats I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We live in a fucking stupid generation.
All right, well, that is where we are wrapping up Shed Some Light episode 238. Thank you all for listening. Remember that Kirk Cousins is a great guy. We'll be back the next time that we record. And in the meantime,
go Irish.
Keep them cold.